What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Warriors taking on the Sixers tonight at Oracle. Boogie's home debut. Steph and Joel Embiid, a little friendly off the court. And a load of NBA news and massive trade coming today. We're going to talk about all that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Going to talk some Warriors right now about the Warriors-Sixers game coming up, but really, man, there was so much NBA news over the last 48 hours that we need to get to that could affect the Warriors in roundabout ways. Not directly, but there are some ripple effects that could affect the Warriors. Long-term, short-term, we're going to get to all of it. So starting off first, Warriors taking on the Sixers tonight. Should be an interesting game. Sixers are good, you know. Even with the problems they've had, even with the trades that they felt they needed to make, they're still 33-18. They're a damn good team. They have three all-stars, all-star caliber. I don't know who is or isn't an all-star on that team because the final rosters haven't come out yet. But obviously, Embiid, Simmons, Jimmy Butler. I like what they did in the offseason to try and replace Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova. Even though it hasn't been as effective as Bellinelli and Ilyasova were, considering they got a guy like Landry Shamet who's shooting, I think, 39% from three. He's a young rookie that I like. He was drafted 26th overall. I was hoping he would fall to the Warriors at 28th. He did not. Robert Williams went 27th, another one who probably could have helped the Warriors out. But whatever, they got Jacob Evans, who, by the way, playing pretty well in the G League right now, so that's somewhat of a positive. But back to the Sixers. They got Landry Shamet to replace Marco Bellinelli. That has worked out very well. Mike Muscala to try and replace Ersan Ilyasova. Not as good, but he's, you know, 34, 35% from three this year. Definitely contributing. They could still use more shooters, but they've been able to replenish a little bit, you know, the cupboards of shooting, so to speak, when they lost Bellinelli and Ilyasova. And by the way, give me Landry Shamet on a rookie deal. Give me Mike Muscala making $5 million over having to pay Marco Bellinelli $6 million on a two-year deal, $6 million per year, and Ilyasova $7 million per year. So I like what they've done. Obviously, the Jimmy Butler trade was big. Depending on how it fits, we kind of nitpick a lot, but they're still 33-18 and still playing very well. Still a team that, I mean, they're just damn good, you know? They're a team that could give the Warriors problems because of that top-level depth that they have, that elite depth that they have up front, like the Warriors have. They have superstar depth. So do the Sixers. Now, there's different levels of superstar, and the Warriors are a higher level of superstar with Steph and KD and Klay and Draymond and Boogie, but I like what the Sixers have done, even though some of the hype around them can annoy me to an extent. You know, like Ben Simmons is really good. He's flawed, though, and there's a ceiling on his potential because of his lack of shooting. I mean, it's not just a lack. It's just not there. He can't shoot outside of the lane, which makes the fact that he can put up the numbers that he does a little more impressive to me. But it also puts a cap on how good he can be. Obviously, the big matchup that I am interested in seeing, I think we're all interested in seeing it, is Boogie and Joel Embiid. That will get the headlines, obviously, because of the characters that these guys are. Probably, I mean, this has to be the most, I don't know, how do I say it, the most trash-talking game of the year. I don't even know if that makes sense, but basically between Boogie and Joel Embiid and Draymond and Jimmy Butler, I feel like there's going to be more words per minute than any other game the entire season. There's going to be a lot of talk, It's going to be fun. But as far as the game goes, this should be Boogie's biggest test so far. And I know I said that about the Pacers because of Sabonis and Turner, but one-on-one, individually, this will be the biggest test going up against a guy like Joel Embiid, who is also a great defender in his own right. So the fact that it's Boogie and Joel Embiid, and that Embiid is one of the few guys who can match Boogie's size. And I said last game that that was one of the things that really, not surprised me, but really stood out, was the fact that there just aren't many human beings built like DeMarcus Cousins, that are built like, you know, a 7 foot, 270, 280 pound, skilled beast. And Joel Embiid is one of them. And as I said about the Pacers game, was Boogie was tossing around guys like Miles Turner and DeMontis Sabonis, who aren't slouches. They're just not as massive as DeMarcus Cousins. And we're going to see a matchup tonight where he'll go up against someone who is as big. I'm also looking forward to the Jimmy Butler on KD, because that's what I imagine will be the matchup. You might see Simmons on KD a little bit also because of his size, but that's the other thing that they have. They have two guys that you can throw at Kevin Durant who could potentially disrupt him a little bit. We don't know whether it'll work or not, because Kevin Durant is, you know, best basketball player in the world, one of at least. So, yes, hypothetically, the size of a 6'10 Ben Simmons and, you know, a 6'7, 6'8 Jimmy Butler, both very good defenders, could potentially disrupt Kevin Durant, or Kevin Durant could, you know, go for 40 on both of them. But if you have a prototype, I would rather have size going up against Kevin Durant than not. And it'll also be interesting to see, so then where does the other guy play? If Jimmy Butler is on KD, where is Simmons? Is Simmons going to be on Steph? I don't know. You kind of like that matchup because of the size difference, but then, you know, Steph is Steph. Can he just get right around him? That'll be interesting to see. Who does Draymond cover on the other end? Is he on Simmons? Is KD on Simmons? It's just the matchups are going to be very interesting to me in this game. And then on top of that, DeMarcus Cousins' first home game. I keep forgetting, because he's been around for that entire road trip, which was, what, 5-6 games? And so his first game at home is going to be against the Sixers. That's wild. After 5 games on the road. So first home game for Cousins. Looking forward to it. And I also think, well, first off, the crowd's going to be lit. They're going to love to see DeMarcus Cousins. They're going to go crazy. It'll be similar to Cousins' first game, where every single successful dribble he took, the entire team lost their mind on the bench. They were all going crazy. It's going to be like that at Oracle tonight. The crowd's going to lose it every single successful thing that Cousins does. And every single call that goes against them, Oracle's going to lose their minds. Should be a lot of fun. One other thing I think it'll help is, you know, the old saying, I'm sure you've all heard it, but the first game back after a long road trip is tough. You know, it's tough to have energy, or I don't know what the explanation is to it. I don't buy it personally. I don't get it. I don't buy it, but we've seen it happen before. But I also think DeMarcus Cousins, the fact it's his first home game, crowd's going to be into it. I think that will energize the team and have them a little more locked in than they normally would be coming off a long road trip. But we'll wait and see. I mean, who knows? Who the hell knows? So that is the Sixers-Warriors game. Kind of flew through that pretty quick. Might talk about it a little bit more coming up next, but what I really need to get to is a big trade in the NBA, a lot of ripple effects coming from that, and then also we got to talk a little more Anthony Davis, because the story just keeps on growing. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors, or welcome back, honestly. You know, we just took a break. Just talked a little bit about the Warriors-Sixers game. One other thing to look for in that Dub-Sixers game tonight, that second unit with DeMarcus Cousins, Andre, Sean Livingston, Klay Thompson, and Draymond, can they continue the good play that they showed against the Pacers? You know, they were dominant in that fourth quarter against the Pacers, so can that continue? and, you know, just all the fringe stuff we usually talk about as well. Moving on. Anthony Davis has requested a trade. We all know about that. There was another star who was unhappy with where he was. And I think star is correct. He's not quite yet a superstar, but Kristaps Porzingis has been unhappy with the Knicks and how things are going there, understandably so, because they're the Knicks and nothing's going right. And it hasn't gone right because James Dolan is their owner. So this all happened within, I don't know, seemingly an hour, 2 hours, maybe less, at least on social media, from when we started hearing about it, when the public started hearing about it. So I'm going to try and run this down real quick for the listeners here. So earlier today, at 10:44 a.m., Woj with Zach Lowe and Ramona Shelbourne reported that in a meeting with management, KP, Kristaps Porzingis, expressed his concern with the losing franchise direction and an uncertainty that a culture is developing that will enable sustainable organizational success. I doubt those were the exact words he used, but I think that was the gist of it. Porzingis wanted to play for a winner in New York, but was searching for clarity on his future role with the team and Knicks' direction. Porzingis out with an ACL. He's a restricted free agent this summer. That was a follow-up from Woj. 2 minutes later, 58 minutes later, Woj says Kristaps Porzingis left the Knicks with an impression that he prefers to be traded. League sources tell Ramona Shelbourne and me, Adrian Wojnarowski, Knicks are expected to commence discussions on moving him ahead of next Thursday's deadline. So I'm thinking, ooh, we might get a KP trade in the next week. Follow that up. 20 minutes later, the Nets, Clippers, Heat, Spurs, and Raptors are among many teams expected to pursue KP in a trade. League sources tell ESPN. Follow that up. 23 minutes later, New York is finalizing a deal to acquire Kristaps Porzingis. League sources tell ESPN. That was a typo. Woj corrects the typo. 1 minute later. Let's try that again. Dallas is finalizing a deal to land Kristaps Porzingis. League sources tell ESPN. Follow that up. 13 minutes later. New York has agreed with Dallas on trade that includes KP, Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr. for Wes Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., and DeAndre Jordan. League sources tell ESPN players and agents are being notified of particular deal may include more draft assets. So that was about 2 hours. Over the course of 2 hours, we got the report that KP more or less wanted out. You know, we didn't get the exact trade demand. He demands a trade, but he was sick of New York, sick of the Knicks, sick of James Dolan, sick of just the entire situation there. And you know what I think did it? This was the straw that broke the camel's back. Enes Kanter checked in last night, kissed the floor, the New York Knicks logo, and KP said, I can't be a part of this corny shit anymore. That's what did it. Sorry, New York. Blame Enes Kanter. That's all I got for you. But the trade has not been officially completed. I know that, you know, they have to do the phone call and this and that. But here's the deal. As far as the Warriors are concerned, the Mavs just got better. Now, I'm not sure when KP is going to be able to play. Maybe immediately. But the Mavs got better. They have Luka, KP. They have a young squad, a young core that they want to build around. The Mavs were able to get rid of Dennis Smith Jr., which, you know, depending on how you feel, I think that's a loss, I guess, but he also wasn't working out perfectly for the Mavs, especially considering how Luka, you know, plays with the ball in his hands. He's better when he has it. Watching the Mavs recently, I've always thought, like, I understand why they went and got DeAndre Jordan, but Dwight Powell does a lot of what DeAndre Jordan already does, maybe just a little more slender than Jordan. And Dwight Powell costs less than half of what you're paying DeAndre Jordan, so they were able to get off that contract. Wesley Matthews' contract they've been trying to get off of for a while now, they were able to do that. Which I also, it's kind of weird to me, I guess, that they're trying to get off these expiring contracts, because isn't that an asset for you at the same time? But maybe they're one of the realistic organizations that says, just because we have cap space this offseason doesn't mean we're going to be able to get anyone. So I like the fact they used their assets now to get someone instead of, you know, the idea that the Knicks and Lakers play with it. Oh, we're, you know, New York and LA, so we're going to be able to get a free agent because we have cap space. It doesn't always work out that way. Might work out this time. Who knows? But just the idea that cap space means you're going to get someone doesn't always work. The pieces coming back to Dallas, obviously Chris Stapps, Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr. is making a lot of money that you're going to have to continue to pay him for the next couple of years, which isn't ideal, but as far as another contributor, he is that. He's not, you know, if Cantor was part of the deal, they'd waive him or buy him out because they wouldn't need an Enes Kanter. At the very least, getting Tim Hardaway Jr. back, he can play for them. He can give them minutes. Courtney Lee, not as much. But either way, I like the deal for Dallas. It makes them better. It makes them better in the West, which is already stacked. And that's where I want to look at this from the Warriors' perspective. Because, look, Dallas gets better. Who knows what's going to happen with AD? I still don't think it happens until the summer. But who knows? New Orleans is a terribly run organization, so they might make the stupid decision to do it before the summer. But one of the things I wanted to talk about that is even more important than Dallas getting better is the fact that DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews going to New York, those are two prime buyout candidates for the Warriors. They could easily get bought out. Them playing for New York doesn't do anything for New York. I don't think they want to keep either one of them. If they do play them, that gives them a better chance at winning games. And as you can see, the fact that they traded Porzingis are on this long losing streak, don't want to play Cantor, even though, look, Cantor's not great, he can help you win games. And they're clearly just trying to tank, trying to get that number one pick or the highest pick they can. So playing DeAndre Jordan, playing Wesley Matthews just doesn't make sense. Here's the thing, though. DeAndre Jordan, 3 weeks ago, getting bought out would have been perfect. Would have been awesome. Very good friends with KD. Maybe next offseason when, you know, the free agent market kind of plays itself out and maybe they can't retain Boogie or whatever, DeAndre Jordan could fit with the Warriors. But right now, it just doesn't make sense because he's going to want more playing time than they can give him. As I mentioned last episode, Kevon Looney is playing great in whatever position you put him in, whether he's starting or playing with the second team. He's really found a groove, and he's been exactly what the Warriors need, especially opposite Boogie. Now, Wesley Matthews Jr., though, that's a whole nother story. If he gets bought out and the Warriors want him and he wants to come play for the Warriors, that is a knockdown shooter that you can add immediately. Now, I don't know what the playing time would be with him either, considering you look at the lineups, you look at that second unit that Steve Kerr's putting out there of Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and DeMarcus Cousins. Who would he replace in that? I don't know. I mean, Sean Livingston, maybe, but I like Sean out there because of his defensive ability. Wesley Matthews, not as good of a defender as he was earlier in his career, can still get it done, though. So those are the interesting aspects of this trade as far as the Warriors are concerned. The Mavs getting better, yeah, that matters a little bit, but they're still a lower seed in the West. And, okay, maybe it's a tougher, you know, first-round matchup for the Warriors or something like that. But I like the move for Dallas, man, getting a young core together, getting a player right now with their assets instead of trying to wait till the summer. That's something I think the Sacramento Kings should be looking at doing right now, is trying to add Otto Porter or I don't know, someone good right now, because the idea that you have cap space this summer doesn't really mean anything. It just means you have money to spend and you're probably not going to get proper value for it. So there it is on the trades, or the trade that happened today, the big one. I don't know about you guys, when there's a trade that happens, I'm like a fiend refreshing Twitter, just like, where's the next one? I know there's another one coming. Come on. Usually doesn't happen, but I'm going to keep doing that. As soon as there's one trade, I immediately want 100 more. I love this stuff. But there it is. Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavs. along with Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee. Going to the Knicks is Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and I think that's it. There might be some ancillary piece, some draft compensation involved, but that hasn't been announced yet. Potential buyout candidates, Wesley Matthews Jr., DeAndre Jordan, potential Warriors as well. We will have to wait and see what happens. The Anthony Davis stuff, there's a little bit of news to it, but not a lot. Want to touch on that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. Or again, you know what? Welcome back. Welcome back. Just mentioned the big trade that happened in the NBA today, and it was awesome. Literally just happened. I have to add this. Coming from Sham Charania. Is it Charania or Charania? Sham Bomb, whatever. The draft compensation that's going to New York in the KP deal, two future first round picks. Now, we haven't gotten the, the protections or the years that those picks will be, but that's solid for New York, man. That's not bad. Dennis Smith Jr. is the, I guess, headliner of that deal because he'll actually be on the team. Wes Matthews, DeAndre Jordan, probably going to be bought out or sit on the sideline for, I don't know, the rest of the year. So we'll see. A lot of DNPs if they stick around on the Knicks. But two future first-round picks, solid haul. Not bad. Not bad. Good for both sides. Now, I want to get to the Anthony Davis news that we know he requested a trade. And I know a lot of people are talking about the Lakers and this and that. And, you know, who knows? Maybe it happens. But it's not going to happen till the summer, I don't think. The latest news that came out was, oh, the Magic, or the Magic, that's funny. Magic Johnson of the Lakers has presented five different trade scenarios for AD and, you know, trying super hard to get him. And I wonder who leaked that. I wonder who's the one who went out and said, yeah, we got five different trade offers from the Lakers to get our guy, blah, blah, blah. It's the Lakers, obviously, guys. Come on. And again, as poorly run as New Orleans is, I still think they're going to be smart enough to not make this move until the summer, until there's more assets available for them. Look, I don't love any of the Lakers' young players. Kuzma, you know, if he was shooting from three what he was in his rookie year, I'd be a lot more intrigued. But he's down at about 30% right now. That's not good. I don't want that. Lonzo Ball, I think he could be a solid player, but is he worth giving up one of the top five best players in the NBA for? He's not. There's no real mix of players from the Lakers right now, or draft picks, that I would give up Anthony Davis for. And so that deal from the Lakers, that's going to be there in the summer. And the Lakers have said, oh no, we're not going to be in a bidding war during the summer for Anthony Davis. Okay, so you're just going to be out on Anthony Davis. You're going to be out on one of the best players in the NBA because why? Explain that to me. Why? You're not going to be. That's why. So it's all a lot of posturing right now between the Lakers and Pelicans, or well, mostly the Lakers. The Pelicans are just like, look, we're waiting until the Celtics can get in on this and we can potentially get the best player available, a la Jason Tatum and whoever else, you know, the Celtics can offer up. Or we're waiting to see who has the number one overall pick and see what they can offer for Anthony Davis. And it got leaked that Anthony Davis says, oh, well, wherever I go is going to be a one-year rental unless it's the Lakers. Well, okay, that's not a surprise, but I don't think that scares teams off anymore. If you look at Paul George, we'll see what happens with Kawhi Leonard, but the bottom line is Paul George is the pipe dream that teams are now leaning on. The fact that Paul George re-signed with OKC, teams are like, well, we'll take that risk because it can happen. So nothing really new to report except the Lakers are kind of desperate. And let's see if it works. I don't think it will, but let's see if they're kind of weak tactics that, you know, even Twitter GMs can see through work. I doubt it. League pass picks for tonight. Six games. I don't know. Again, Actually, you know what? There's some solid ones. Obviously, Warriors-Sixers is going to be good. The Bucks and Raptors are playing tonight. That's a big one. They should get a little more love. But, you know, with the news today, I don't know. We're all kind of overlooking games anyways. Bucks are 36-13. Raptors 37-15. I mean, we all know about these guys. Two MVP candidates in Giannis and Kawhi. Top two seeds in the East. This is actually a great one. I'm looking forward to this. That's one I'm going to be locked in on. And then Lakers-Clippers. Why not Lakers-Clippers? I think LeBron might return tonight. I don't know if it's been confirmed or not, but either way, Battle of LA. What the hell? Let's take a look. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is Locked On Warriors. Come back tomorrow because I'll have another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.